the butterfly adversity. The main thrust is always going to be philosophy, because you've got to get that down. It's kind of like I always equate it to when I was taking dance and I was doing modern dance. Gina, you and I both have done ballet, and I've done jazz, and then I was doing modern dance in college. You could get the technique down all day long, but until you understood why you were dancing and able to put that into your dance, then you were just going through the motion. I think now we really need to spend time on the meat, which is the philosophy, okay, so that people can apply it no matter what they come up against. What better time to talking about butterfly adversity and the butterfly effect, which is a book, by the way, than when you're going through it yourself?
Yes. Yes.
Which I definitely am. And I know that you do simply just by association, or you go through it on your own. This topic had to be, once again, divinely orchestrated, because I'm going through so much adversity. And then at the same time, to connect the butterfly to the lymph system. So we're talking not just the philosophical part, but also the physical part. It is interesting that there's not something I would have been able to think of that had to be the Lord. I give him all credit and glory, and I pray that we can pull it off the way we hope that he wants it done. I want to preface this with a quote: problems are good, not bad. Welcome them and become the solution. From the book, The Butterfly Effect, Andy Andrews wrote that book, and he says in that, every action matters. Deciding to do something matters. Your actions have value far greater than gold or silver. And as naturopaths, that is the biggest challenge that we come up against. People not wanting to take action, they want us to tell them what to do, because this is what people are used to doing with themselves and their animals because of modern medicine. They dictate to you what to do, what not to do, and people aren't being responsible for their own health or that of their animals. Yet it's our own actions that have value. It's our own commitment. It's our own involvement. How we have to hold ourselves accountable and take responsibility. Be empowered by that. And you're going to face adversity doing that, because you're going to come up against people that aren't going to understand why you're doing it. Why aren't you running to the doctor? Look at your dog. And this happened to a client of mine when the dog started detoxing, and she's holding fast to the detox, and the dog looks worse than before because of the body detoxing.
Going through
and everyone's one person, a relative of hers, said half jokingly that I ought to turn you in for animal abuse. And this is the mentality that we're up against. But the vet listened to me, but you're not. You don't have an open mind, because we adhere to the laws of health and nature. They consider us closed-minded and narrow. Why does the path to destruction narrow the path to what, Jeannie?
To righteousness. Truth.
And that is what people are not going to understand. But remember, and I tell myself this going through the adversity, you guys know that Shadrach has been sick, and yet he's come through another hump. Of course, he's limping today, but he's come through the major hump that I just flat didn't think he would rebound from, because I didn't think his body was strong enough to. It was a hardcore healing crisis, and yet he's old, and I don't think he'll ever be wholly well, but he has shown me how to face that, and I don't always do it very gracefully or nice. Jeannie has to remind me all the time, you're talking about adversity, and you're not handling it very well.
I didn't say it that way.
Well, you said it much nicer than that. That's the way I would have said it. I mean, the adversity is what's going to mold us. Yeah.
Good for us.
Adversity like what's going on in Japan. How do we know what's going to happen out of that horrible tragedy?
Right. That's
what
right.
Beautiful things will emerge from that in different people's lives. Some people will go on to become very bitter and dry up, and others will blossom like nobody would ever imagine that they could.
But, you know, I found out recently that there's been some research going on following people going through really challenging and disastrous situations. And they've actually shown that there are benefits to experiencing adversity in our lives. And that after a difficult challenge, then we are less likely to feel pained or challenged the next time around. Not that it won't be painful and difficult, but we won't be as pained or as affected by it. We'll be that much better off, better able to handle the next tragic or adversity in our lives.
Absolutely.
Thought that was cool.
It was very cool. That's very cool. When we're going through these things and we're witnessing them and supporting the body the way we know to, according to the laws of health, that the adversity that we're watching as the body does what it does, the beauty that comes out the other end of that when that animal's allowed to heal. Exactly. Unfortunately, a client who told me that I wasn't listening and was not helpful, like the veterinarian, the dog was on its way to healing crises. It's an old dog, and she's not allowing it to go through that, rather wants to do things the way the vet said, mm-hmm. which is really in direct opposition to not only common sense, but to the laws of health. And we've said repeatedly, when you violate the laws of health, you will suffer the consequences.
Absolutely.
But when you honor them, you will reap the benefits.
Absolutely.
Natural health is slow. It's so slow that it's agonizing sometimes.
Without a doubt. But it's sure.
Really well.
Right.
It's sure.
Even if that healing means that the individual is too sick to get through it and ends up dying, the body is still healed itself. There's a healing. It just may take time, a long time sometimes.
And some animals and some people aren't going to be well enough to get the healing complete.
Exactly. That's when the body will just shut down in order to heal.
It'll shut down and it'll die and that's it.
That's right.
You know, but it was on its way. It was headed in the right direction.
Yes.
And modern people can't see that. They're going to think it's abuse or they're going to think you're a Fruit Loop. You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not considerate. You're not understanding. You're not open-minded. You're stupid. This is butterfly adversity. And why do I equate that to butterfly adversity? And how does the lymph system fit into all this? And anyway, let's talk about the butterfly for a minute. And I went to Wikipedia just to look up something. I am enamored of butterflies. I think they're awesome. Of course, I wouldn't want a caterpillar crawling up the larva stage. I wouldn't want them crawling on me. Fine, once they've hit that butterfly. I don't really like creepy crawlies, any. Okay,
oh,
you know,
they're fuzzy, wuzzy. They're cute.
No, I like when I was a kid. That's the weird thing. I brought a whole thing. I was out there playing with the real fuzzy ones when I was
mm-hmm.
a kid, and I brought them in to show my mom. My mom wigged out. Get those in the house. Well, my mom, look at how cute they are. Well, she didn't think they were cute at all. I want to share something that was interesting. I watched a movie on Saturday called The Ant Bully. It was a kid's cartoon movie, mm-hmm. kind of like one of those Disney things. And it was interesting that I watched that and watched what they were going through and what their whole world and their whole thing. Whoever made that movie knew what goes on in the ant world and with caterpillars, butterfly caterpillars,
mm-hmm.
and the symbiotic relationship. Well, on Wikipedia, it just says that a butterfly is mainly a day-flying insect. There's butterflies and there's moths. And the butterfly's life cycle consists of four parts, an egg, a larva, a pupa, and an adult. And it said that they often have large, bright-colored wings, and they're beautiful, and we want to attract them to our gardens and so forth. And there's this whole thing. You remember that song, Jeannie? Let me tell you about the birds and
mm-hmm.
the bees and the flowers and the trees and
okay.
up above and the thing called love. I loved that song as a kid. Mm-hmm. Sorry for my singing, but it all connects for me now, seeing how such a symbiotic relationship in nature. And man
yeah.
is working hard to annihilate that.
Oh, boy.
Well,
yes.
These butterflies, they, like the monarch, some of them can travel and migrate over long distances.
Mm-hmm.
And some have evolved to have a symbiotic and parasitic sort of relationship with social insects like ants. And this is what this
That's
movie
right.
showed. It was amazing. Some are considered pests in the larva stages because they damage domestic crops and trees. But others are agents of pollination. So what are we going to be? Are we going to allow adversity to make us those who damage and bring annihilation? Are we going to allow ourselves to bring life and joy and health and fruitfulness to others?
Mm-hmm.
And I could very easily fall into one or the other category depending on my mood. But then our lives shouldn't be dictated by our moods or our feelings.
That's right. Absolutely right.
We have to grow from that adversity and become that beautiful butterfly. The butterfly, that caterpillar has to truck along really slowly, going through all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff, and ain't no telling what's going to try and eat it along the way.
Right.
Or try to become a parasite on it and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of things that can happen to that larva on the way to becoming the adult beautiful butterfly.
Yes.
And some of them don't make it.
No.
But the ones who do and prevail through every hardship that they come up against, regardless of what the world is telling it, regardless of all the odds against it, to emerge this amazing being that has metamorphosed into this beautiful, elegant, either monarch butterfly or whatever other butterfly there is, to continue to bring life around in the areas that it pollinates.
Are you going to tell us a little more about the relationship with the ants?
It's interesting how they work together, they live together, they communicate, they vibrate, kind of like our, I think of the dolphins and the different animals
mm-hmm.
in the ocean that communicate through that, but they use vibrations. Elephants communicate through vibrations.
Right.
The ants will help, and the reason they did this was to survive. The ants will help provide, they're like the soldiers that provide the protection with the larva of the caterpillar, and in turn, the caterpillar feeds them through what they call honeydew secretions.
Right.
It would sound gross to us because it's caterpillar poop,
mm-hmm.
but it's really healthy and good for the
nutritious
ants.
For the ants.
And for
That's
the nutrition
great.
Of the ants.
You know, it reminds me that when we as human beings are going through adversity, that's when we often learn about true friendship. I mean, that's when your true friends come through for you and are there to support you and encourage you. That just came to me. Cool. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was very cool, Jeannie, that you have such insights, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you wonder, well, how would this fit into the physical aspects of the body? Let's talk about the lymph system, because this is one of the most overlooked parts of the body.
Yes, it
People
is.
People come to us and they will understand about the organs, and they'll understand about the circulation, and they'll understand about even something as heavy-duty as brain function, which controls
right.
the whole
Or the cardiovascular system, how
right.
that works.
But when we say lymph, we get real quiet silence on the phone if we're doing a phone consult, real quiet silence if we're looking them in their face. What do you mean? The lymph system is there, and it's a system of systems similar to like vessels. It's vessels throughout the whole body, and they cluster in areas where the lymph nodes are, look like little grapes
right.
underneath the throat in the human. And again, our dogs kind of have a similar placements with their
lymph nodes.
They do. In the armpits and so forth and in the throat. The reason why it's so important for this lymph system, for us to focus on that, is that's the way we maintain a healthy life, and the same with our animals. When we were talking on the webinar yesterday, we talked about when we violate one of the laws of health, we violate them all. And we said if you do everything right, but you don't allow your pet to exercise, they can even get obese on a raw diet. And their lymph system's not working.
No.
There's going to be a domino effect when you violate one of those laws, because a law in nature is not something that can be violated without consequences. So this domino effect happened. It's kind of interesting how it works. It cleanses the fluid around the cells of your body.
Oh, it does something.
And yeah, and then it takes that and removes all the impurities in the waste products, and it protects your body from toxins.
Exactly.
So it's going to allow the cells, the body itself, to function at its optimal when it's working. But here's the thing: the lymph system needs adversity. If you think of it this way, a form of adversity to work. It doesn't move like the circulatory system does. The heart's pumping and moving the blood.
Right.
And the oxygen and all of that's happening, you know, moving the blood and circulation's happening, but not with the lymph system. You have to get moving. It needs motion. You have to create that motion through exercise. And also a massage will help move lymph out. It will help move. So it needs some pressure and it needs some jarring and it needs some movement to get working.
Exactly.
It needs action.
It has to have those muscular contractions.
That's right. And so when you go back to what the butterfly effect book, what Andy Andrews said in his book, every action matters. Every action matters. And we have to do in order to have results.
Exactly.
And we have to be committed to that. And people might see this as a real narrow, myopic viewpoint. It's actually, the focus is, I think the allopathic conventional care is myopic to the point it's reductionist.
Absolutely.
So when somebody says that we're narrow-minded, we're following the narrow path, but our viewpoint is the broad, the mind, body, spirit working together in synergy as a whole. And that's always going to include adversity.
Yeah.
For us in our lives, when adversity comes at us in physical form, you know, when I'm working out, I expect adversity when I'm pumping iron or when I'm running or doing Pilates or whatever it is.
A little pain, a little sweat.
Little sweat, little pain, little effort. But when it comes at you emotionally, sometimes really difficult to face, or when it comes at you through day-to-day things that happen in your life, it's really hard to take. But is that adversity being used to buffer you? What about our animals?
Or to cleanse you?
Is the stress that they're experiencing good stress that's going to help benefit their lives, meaning you're working them out, you're teaching them to think, not just to rely on you. They're going to focus on you, your dog, for example, and they've got to depend on you for their sustenance because they're not allowed to go out and hunt and everything like they once did. But are you going to help them be able to think and handle situations? And there's going to be some adversity in that training as they handle that. It's difficult for us to want to go through any of those things or to even want to reach for those things, but that's the only way we're going to grow. To become that butterfly, we have to be the caterpillar for a while and go through what it takes to build, so the body will strong enough and be able to metamorphose into that butterfly.
Right.
And the lymph system is not something that we should ever overlook. It's always something that you should be at the forefront of the care of yourselves and your animals.
Definitely. Vital. I mean, it's part of the immune system. We die without
the vital
it.
Part.
Cancer without it moving and being this plugged up. It delivers nutrients. It fights infections. It detoxifies. I mean, it's just that we can't live without it. And if we
but
quit
not
using
without
it,
the adversity,
quit moving,
it,
that's
but
right.
But it won't do it without the adversity that that it needs.
Absolutely.
To do the job.
Got to keep moving.
That's a positive adversity, and that's what I believe that this quote by Mark Victor Hansen meant, that problems are good. And I don't look at it as problems, it's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Challenges are good, not bad. Welcome them and
there
become the solution. Be the model of it. And whether you're bearing a title of Doctor of Animal Naturopathy or Veterinary Naturopathy, or whether you're just a naturopath in your heart, you have to stand firm when that adversity comes flying at you as you are seeking to better the lives of your animals and yourself, because you know that you know that you know.
Right.
And trust me, Jeannie and I get tripped down and knocked down all the time by people who just don't get it, or they're not ready to get it. They still want to be dependent on someone telling them what to do and what to think and how to think it and how to do it.
Or to give them a pill.
Give me that.
Seriously. They want to go home with something. They want to go home with an antibiotic or a steroid or an herb or something. Surely there's something that you can give them that'll fix it right now.
The conventional medicine does. The minute the healing crisis hits,
mm-hmm.
and the body's starting to do what it needs to do, that's when they panic.
Yep.
This is when people are going to say you're cruel for not helping them through that. If you're consulting with them, or if you're doing it with your own animals, they're going to say you're cruel because you're not fixing it. But you are mm-hmm. fixing it, and you're going through the adversity with your animal,
right?
Allowing them to experience true health and healing.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. And it's hard to stand firm when you are a salmon swimming upstream and it's loaded with bear.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
But there are salmon who prevail and make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go on and continue to propagate that message throughout the world.
Yeah. Not every caterpillar makes it either.
Nope.
They have to go through a lot more adversity than we have time to discuss today. A lot of them get eaten by birds along the way.
But they never stop making that attempt and effort to go forward.
That's right.
And to do.
That's right.
Regardless if they are part of the collateral damage or just part of the way nature works or not. It's just how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to continue to face that adversity and go forward in spite of the daunting, often daunting, and mounting opposition and adversity.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Ken Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.